here this morning and see how we do here. It should be very practical, but some practical suggestions that might help us to get more out of our Bible reading. In Revelations 1:3, it says, "Blessed is he that readeth." Okay? There's a blessing in reading God's Word. It's God's Word for you and for me. And we can learn much from it. In fact, Jesus said, "Sanctify them." That's to set us apart through thy truth, through his truth. That is the Word of God. And so the Word of God will help us to change us and sanctify us and help us to be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, first of all, we should read regularly. Okay, that means I wouldn't say we need to read every day if we can. Okay, how many of you skipped breakfast this morning? Raise your hand. Some of you probably did. All right, a few of you did. Not too many. All right. How many of you skipped eating altogether yesterday? Raise your hand. No one. No one skipped eating. Now, eating's, we like doing that, don't we? We like to eat. We ought to love to read God's Word and feed upon God's Word. And very few times will we skip eating. You know, some of us may skip breakfast. I know that's probably the most important meal of the day, they say. But many of us will sometimes skip breakfast. And then, you know, we'll eat later in the day. We may skip a meal, but we don't usually generally go without eating. In fact, if we encourage somebody to fast and pray, we think, oh, man, that means if I fast, well, maybe I can skip one meal and fast. But what if I fast the entire day? That means I'm not going to be able to eat anything for an entire day. That sounds hard for us, doesn't it? Okay. In order to have good physical health, we need to eat. And in order for us to have good spiritual health, we need to feed on God's Word on a daily basis. Okay? 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." Listen, if you're not in the Bible, your growth, your spiritual growth will be stunted. Okay, you may say, "Well, Pastor Terry, I'm faithful to church. I come Sunday morning for Sunday schools. I come Sunday morning church. I come to Sunday evening church. I come to Wednesday night church. That's enough." Well, if eating or feeding upon the Word of God is as essential as feeding ourselves, try that with your diet. Try just eating three meals on Sunday and one meal on Wednesday and see how you do. You wouldn't do that, would you? Let me encourage you. By the way, again, this is just an encouragement. But in Hebrews 10:24, it says we are to provoke one another to love and good works. By the way, is it a good thing? Is it a good work to get into our Bibles every day? And so let me provoke you to do that, okay? That's what I'm trying to I do this morning in Sunday school, and I'll make a little joke here about some things. Sometimes I like to be provoking. I can be pesty sometimes. Ask my wife. I sometimes joke around. Not too much lately. I haven't done that. And I would teasingly joke, I'm a nerve doctor. I like working on nerves. But the word provoke there means is it's the idea to encourage and to get you to do something, okay? And so that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're assembling together, and we're to provoke one another to love and to good works. And so I'll probably be repeating some of that in my morning's message. But anyway, let me encourage you to be in your Bibles every day. And now I got some of this material from somebody else, so I'm going to read some of this. Perhaps you think you don't have time to read the Bible every day. A man once made this excuse to the great evangelist D.L. Moody. He answered, "My friend, if you are too busy to read the Bible every day, you are busier than Almighty God ever intended any human being to be. And you'd better let some things go and take time to read the Bible. Because God wants us to read His Word. Because this is God's Word to you and to me. And if we just let it sit on our tables or nightstand and only bring it to church, I don't think God's pleased with that at all, because He wants to teach us through His Word. Now, I'm thankful for the preaching and teaching of God's Word, but again, we need to be in it on a daily basis ourselves. Now, Mrs. Cockle's here this morning, and I remember one time she mentioning this. I hope she doesn't mind me mentioning this, but she said something to this extent, and maybe she can correct me, but she doesn't depend just on pastor's preaching. Now, what does she mean by that? I knew what she meant when she told me that. She meant that she is in the Bible for herself. And she reads it for herself. She studies it for herself. And she's thankful when she can be here for the services to hear the preaching of the Word of God. But she's not always able to be here. But she's able to take time for herself and get into God's Word, study it and read it for herself, and grow as a result of doing that. Okay? So we all need to be in God's Word. Do you remember telling me that, Mrs. Cockle? Amen. It's good to set aside a special time during the day to reading. By the way, it's just like anything else. If you don't plan to do it, it's not going to happen. Okay? You've got to plan it in your day. You've got to make it. By the way, we're good, I hope so. I know I mentioned this before. This goes along the lines of something I preached a month or so ago. But, you know, we're good at brushing our teeth. When do we usually do that? Morning and night. Okay. And sometimes in the middle of the day. But we usually do that after we eat, don't we? We get up in the morning, even if we don't eat breakfast. We don't want to go out in public with morning breath and have terrible breath. And by the way, we brush our teeth and we plan to do it. You know, now hopefully you do the same thing, but I brush my teeth usually at least 3 times a day. But I never miss brushing my teeth before going to bed. Okay, now I have to admit. And you say, oh, Pastor Terry, there's been a time where I've left and haven't brushed my teeth in the morning. And don't look at me like that. You have too, I'm sure, some of you. But the thing of it is, you know, we do make a point to do that, don't we? It's important. If you have a job, you plan to get up in the morning. If you're a mother, you plan to get up in the morning and take care of the children and so forth, you see. And so we need to plan in our lives that we're going to read God's Word. Now, I know what it's like to work a job. Okay, I still work a job. Okay, some of you think I don't, but anyway. But what I meant by that is I remember when I had to get up in the morning, maybe eat my breakfast and get dressed and rush off to work. And I remember times not reading my Bible. Many times, to be honest with you, be open and honest with you. And, you know, sometimes I'd read later in the day, or maybe sometimes I would read, you know, during a break or something that I had. And I know people who do that. You know, morning might be a busy time for you, and you might be like somebody else I've heard. You know, they would take their lunch break at work, and during their lunch break, they would open up their Bible and read. And we get something from God's Word. So let me encourage you to find a time to do that and make it very important and guard that time. Maybe it's before you go to bed. Not necessarily the best time to read, but it's better than nothing, right? And so we need to be reading regularly, and we need to set a time to do that. What I was going to say about that with the job, now it is a little different. For instance, I just sharing a little bit of my own, how I do it, just to be an encouragement to you. Sunday mornings, I get up and I will get my shower, but then I'll make a cup of coffee because I like to have a cup of coffee in the morning. Nothing wrong with that. And then I'll sit down and I'll read my Bible. And then after I've read my Bible and had some prayer time with the Lord, then I will eat breakfast. And if I get up plenty of time, I have no problem doing that. But if I would happen to get up a little later and I have to skip breakfast, I'd rather skip breakfast than skip reading my Bible. And that's what I practice now. Monday through Friday, I generally will come here to the church office. And again, I will come here, I will make a cup of coffee, and I will read my Bible in the morning. And I'll have my prayer time. And then throughout the day, I'll study and, you know, be able to take care of other matters. Saturday morning, I will do the same thing as I do on a Sunday morning. I will get up and I will read my Bible in the morning. And that's been a great blessing to me. And has really helped me, and I would encourage you to do something along the lines of that. Again, if you get up early for work and have to rush off to work, then take a lunch break, read your Bible. If you have to read it later in the day, that's fine too, but just make sure you read regularly. Now, also, I want to encourage you to read slowly. This is very important. It's not how much of the Word of God that you read, but how much of it goes that you understand, okay? I want you to turn to James chapter 2, if you would. Let's turn to in our Bibles here to James chapter 2. I've been reading through the book of James. Now, I'm going to be preaching out of the book of James this morning. Last Sunday, I preached in James chapter 1 about the purpose of trials in our life. God has therefore our purpose and therefore our profit. Okay, now we don't like trials. We don't like difficult times. But James says we're to count it all joy, and it's an emphatic verb there, to count it all joy. It's like, wow, hey, praise God. He's testing my faith, and I need to be thankful for that. And I need to take it patiently. And that patience have its perfect work, that I might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And you know what? That's a great blessing. If you get to that point where you say, you know what, Lord, if you give me nothing else, I'm thankful for what you gave me. Can you say that this morning? You know, if God gives you absolutely nothing else in life, you are content with what you have. You know, Paul says, contentment, I think it was somewhere it says that contentment is great gain. And after all, what do we already have? A home in heaven to look forward to? We have salvation. I mean, what more can you ask for? You know, this life, I don't think this life necessarily is supposed to be real comfortable, is it? Was it comfortable for the Lord Jesus Christ when he was upon the face of the earth? Was it comfortable for Paul? I mean, Paul had gone through shipwreck, beatings, in perils of his own countrymen, in perils of robbers, and on and on and on it goes. He wasn't too comfortable. But he wasn't here living just for what he could get out of this world. No, he was living for the Lord Jesus Christ and looking forward to being with Christ. In fact, he said he was in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to remain and yet having a desire to part, to be with Christ, which is far better. But while Paul was here and while the Lord Jesus Christ was here, they didn't live for themselves, they lived for others. And it wasn't very comfortable. And so, we need to be content with what we have. All right, James chapter 2. We're going to read a little bit here, and then we're going to think about it a little bit. But let's look at verse 1. Who would like to read verse 1? Let's get a little participation here. It's Sunday school, and we'll keep you awake. Who would like to read James chapter 1? Oh, let's have Rita read it. Can you read it nice and loud, Rita, from back there?
My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons.
All right, who wants to explain that verse? And you have any explanation to that verse there? My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. Pretty easy to understand, I think, Jim?
He doesn't show favoritism over one of his children more so than another.
All right, amen. Showing favoritism, partiality. Okay, look at the illustration here, verse 2. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel. What kind of man is that?
Wealthy man.
All right, that's exactly right. Well-to-do. Dressed really nice. Even has a gold ring on his hand. Okay, now those of you that are married probably have one too. Or maybe it's made of silver, or some people wearing the other type now that gives so you don't tear your finger off. I forget what they call them, silicone, I guess, or something. But anyway, the idea is this. All right, if somebody comes into our assembly and they look very wealthy. All right, let's read the rest of the verse. And there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. Okay, that's somebody, he's not dressed very well. And it says in verse 3, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit under my footstool. Idea, okay, oh, hey, you're wealthy, you sit right up front here in an important seat. And then somebody comes in, you know what, your clothing is kind of ripped up, and you know, it doesn't even smell too good. You know, why don't you stand back there at the door? That's the illustration that James is giving us here. And he says, if we or sit on the floor underneath my footstool, he said, are you not then partial? Verse 4, in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts. So now we can understand that, can we not? Let's suppose we just read that this morning. We didn't have a lot of time, but we read that. Now how can we apply that to our lives? All right, here we are. We're in church. Suppose a visitor comes through that door. Does it matter if they're wealthy or poor, how we treat them? It doesn't, does it? In fact, we ought to treat them both the same. We ought to love them both the same. We ought to be as concerned for either one of them as much as the other. It really doesn't matter. Now, let's say we're out and about and we're at the grocery store. In comes a wealthy man, and we're up at the checkout counter, and this guy really looks wealthy. He says, hey, why don't you go before me? I'm not in a hurry today. And you're kind and gracious to that person. And then, or you're in the grocery store, and somebody's, you're in line, here comes somebody. He has one item. He looks very poor, not real clean. And you say to yourself, well, he's probably that way because he's a dirty, rotten sinner. And, you know, he might only have one item and I've got 50, but I don't care. Would we do something like that? We might. But see, let's think about this. As we read that, now let's put that into practice in everyday life. Let's remember that and let's do that. So we need to read slowly and carefully. And again, it's not how much we read, but how much God's word gets into us and that we retain it with us. Okay? Very, very important for us to remember that. Now, we could read, definitely could read more than that. But anyway, let me just move on here. I will never get through all this. I didn't mean to explain everything quite like this. But let's read systematically. What I mean by that is, start reading your Bible like you would read any book. I would suggest if you are not real skilled in reading real skilled in knowing your Bible, probably would be a good place to start in the New Testament. Start with maybe the book of John. And don't just read one chapter of John and then the next day read a chapter in Mark and the next day read a chapter in Revelations. No, stay in the book of John and read through it. Maybe the first day you read John chapter 1 and maybe John chapter 2. And then the next day you might go back and read John chapter 2, chapter 3 and work your way through the entire book until you've completed it. Okay, reading systematically. I like this. I got this from somebody. Sometimes we use the lucky dip method. They say, Lord, show me where you want me to read, and randomly open her Bible and start reading wherever the Bible happens to open. Sometimes the Lord will bless this method, but in general, it's not the best way to read His Word. Now, let me explain that. I do remember a missionary, Uncle Mel Rutter, who used to come at our former church and preach in our missions conference. His wife was very, very sick. And he was praying for his wife, and he's praying, Lord, just give me something today to encourage me. He opened his Bible and read. Now, I'm not saying he used the lucky dip method, but he might have even been, that might have been where he was in his reading. But he read, this sickness is not unto death. And he took that as a direct word from God, his Heavenly Father. And it encouraged him, and his wife survived. And got better. Okay? But some of us will just open up our Bible and say, oh, Lord, bless my reading today. And we might turn to the story. The verse might be in Matthew 27:5, which says, Jesus went out and hanged himself. Since he was not sure how this verse applied to himself, he flipped to another passage, and the Bible fell open to Luke chapter 10, verse 37. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now he was really confused. Lord, really? So the man was quite upset and did not know how he could ever obey that. So he decided, well, I'm going to turn to one more passage. Again, he opened his Bible at random, and to his horror, his finger fell upon John 13:27. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. So, you don't want to use that method, okay? Lord, bless me today. I'll just flip open and whatever I read, I'll take that as a word from you. No, there's danger in that, isn't there? All right, so you don't want to take verses out of context. You want to read a book in entirety and in the whole context, okay? And that's what happens. That's how false doctrines and so forth take place, is people will lift a Bible verse out of its context and take one verse and say, and they'll build a whole doctrine on and teaching on that, and really just taking God's word out of context. All right. Let's see. How about reading carefully? Pay close attention to every word. I was just telling my wife last night, I read in the morning, but sometimes I will also read a book at night, or I'll open my Bible again and read another, read some more scripture before I go to bed. And last night I was reading, and I've just been really working through James. And so I was reading that, and as I was reading, other thoughts came into my mind. That ever happened to you? I remembered Brad showing me the text of him shooting that elk and all that, and then I thought about the guys and all that. And before, I was like, wait a minute, I'm reading the Bible. I can't even concentrate. I'm thinking about other stuff. And it's like, what did I even read? I don't even know. And so I had to back up and reread. So we got to read very carefully, and our mind has to be engaged. If there's something else on our mind, then we need to pray and give that to the Lord and say, you know what, Lord, I need to concentrate. I want to get something from your word. Help me to focus on what I'm reading and be able to understand your word. Okay? So read very carefully. Look for, be a good detective and see what you can discover. Sometimes we miss what God has for us because we fail to see what's right before our eyes. Again, don't be careful not to let your mind daydream. Okay, which happens. That can happen in church. How many of that has happened to us in church? All of us. Don't tell me it didn't. We get, you know, we're sitting there and all of a sudden the wife may say, oh boy, did I turn that crock pot on or didn't I? Did I leave it on high or did I turn it back to low? And before you know it, you missed everything that the pastor said. That happens to all of us. Our minds are like that. They wander. And so we've gotta zero in and focus, okay? That's why you know, when a speaker's preaching or teaching, look up here, try to keep your mind focused on it. Yes, your mind's going to wander from time to time, but try to reel it back in. And we need to do that when we read the Bible. We can't just say, okay, I read, And now, praise the Lord, I did what God wanted me to do. And by the way, what was it I read? You know, it happens, so we got to be reading very, very carefully. Read inquisitively. As you read the Bible, always ask questions such as these. Who's the author? Who's the speaker? To whom is the passage written? Who is the speaker addressing? What are the main ideas? Some other questions I have on your paper there to look at. Let's go back to James chapter 1 and let's ask ourselves the question. Who is the author here? God, right? Yes. God inspired all his word. But who's writing? James. All right. Who's James? All right. Half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, most likely. Who's he writing to? Verse 1. The 12 tribes. What about these 12 tribes? All right, they're scattered because of the persecution. So now we have an idea. Okay, James, who half-brother Lord Jesus Christ, possibly the one of the a pastor, he is writing to the Jewish people who are, the 12 tribes are scattered abroad because of the persecution. And by the way, if you're scattered because of persecution, like we maybe read like some of those North Koreans, do they need their faith strengthened? James is writing to these persecuted believers to encourage them in the faith. Okay, that's what he's writing about. All right, now let's read 19 through 27. By the way, let me encourage you. I know they're kind of expensive, and you can get newer ones. They're not out of print. I think a hardcover one, or even maybe with not the greatest leather, but leather. This is a King James Bible, and it's called the Open Expanded Edition. And James, I have here the book of James, the author of James, the time of James, the Christ of James, keys to James, the key word, faith that works, the key verse, James 1:19 through 22, or key verses, I should say, survey of James, the characteristics of faith, and anyway, it goes on and on, has some outline in there, the test of faith, the characteristic of faith, the triumph of faith. Okay, so there's a lot of helps in there. I can read that before I read the book of James, and I have a little bit of an idea what's going on, when it was written, the time period, and so forth. In fact, if I remember correctly as I read this, I believe James is one of the early New Testament books. Okay? So, let's read verses 19 through 27, and I have to hurry. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We can understand that, right? That's an easy one for us to understand. Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, or getting angry. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthy fluidity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Let's stop there. Let's look at a couple. Is there a command to obey? All right. What would be one of the commands possibly to obey? Okay, be a doer and not just a hearer. So are we supposed to hear? Right, we're supposed to hear and do. Okay, all right. Very good. How about verse 19? We're to be swift to hear. In other words, we be careful, listen very carefully, hear, and be slow to speak. Now, this is a good one for me, because somebody says something right away, I'm thinking, okay, what I want to tell them. You know, just listen. and my wife's a good listener, I listen and I'd be very slow to speak. In other words, be careful what you say. Okay? Slow to wrath, because the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Okay? Sometimes, oh, you foolish, dumb, blockheaded, you know, is that? That's not going to help, is it? You know, we're to be, so anyway, there's some commands here to obey. Verses 21 and 22, we are to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Okay, you know what? We need to put off those things. Isn't that where another portion of Scripture says to put off these things? Lay apart all naughtiness, all filthiness. But instead, we're to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Okay? So if we're going to receive God's engrafted word, we're going to have to listen to it, we're going to have to read it, and we're going to have to obey it. And don't be a forgetful hearer, but be a doer. Continue in it. The idea is this, is okay, we read this morning that we're not to show partiality to some to people. We can get that, right? We can get that. But we got to remember it. So let's say we read that this morning. Okay, now today, Lord, help me not to show partiality to anybody. You know, that eliminates cliques, doesn't it? You know, we can think about that, meditate about that a little bit. Okay, not only do if somebody comes in here that's very wealthy and somebody that's very poor, I need to treat them both the same. But you know what? All of us are brothers and sisters of Christ. All of us are members of Christ's body if we're saved. And we need to love one another and care for one another. And you say, well, I don't really like that person. Their personality is not real nice. So, love them anyway. Don't show partiality to them. Well, I like so-and-so because they're so kind and Brother Jeff's so kind to me. I really love him, but, you know, Larry, he's not so nice to me. So I'm going to avoid him. No, that's showing partiality. You know, we don't know what Larry's going through. He might be going through a hard time right now. Maybe that's why he's not as talkative, or maybe he's a little on edge, right? And so we need to practice these things, okay? Is there a promise to believe? Well, I'm going to go quickly here. Yes, let's look at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. What's that? This man shall be blessed. Do you see that? If you read and do, God's going to bless you. That's a promise from Him. You're going to be blessed if you read God's word and do it. Okay? We're not a forgetful hearer, but we're a doer of the word. Is there a good example to follow? Well, I didn't put one down for that. Is there a sin to avoid? Verse 22. But be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving ourselves. All right. There's a sin to avoid. Okay? If I read but don't do it, what does the Bible say? He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so anyway, we can look at these things. Did I learn anything about God? Did I learn anything about man? Well, some of the things we say we can learn about ourselves. Sometimes we're quick to speak instead of slow to listen. Aren't we that way sometimes? We're not all, you know, but we need to do that. How about, is there anything I can thank God for? Sure there is. I can thank God for His Word. And I can thank God that if I read and do His Word, He's going to bless me. Okay? So you see how that works? All right. We'll move on quickly. My time is about up. Read lovingly. You know, read this Bible like it's a love letter to you. Because God does love you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And He's writing this to us for our profit. And for our good. And so let's read it that way. If if you remember back, maybe when you were dating and you got a love letter from your loved one, you read that thing and covered it from beginning to end, and then you probably went back and said, I wonder what she meant by that. And you would think about it and so forth. I mean, you read it like, you know, wow, and I can't wait to see her. Can't wait to be with her. And you know what? That's the way we need to read the Bible. We need to read prayerfully. Again, pray. Lord, search my heart this morning and show me any wickedness that might be in my life. Listen, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me and I'm going to have a hard time hearing Him. And so, Lord, deal with any sin that might be in my life. And the Bible says our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God can. God knows our heart. We don't even know our own heart sometimes. It's deceitful. It's deceptive. And so, Lord, search my heart. Let me see anything that's wrong in my life. And if there is, Father, help me to confess it and forsake it with your help and with your grace. And then, Lord, open my eyes. Let me behold wonderful things out of your word. And let me obey them. Pray and pray through it. Lord, I don't understand this. Would you help me understand? That's how we need to go to our Bibles. All right, let's wrap this up here. Let me see here. Would I make sure I didn't miss anything that I felt was important here? We need to study it through. Never begin a day without mastering a verse from its pages. You know, if you have to, get a 3x5 card, write a verse on there. Try to memorize some scripture as well. You know, we're memorizing James chapter 4. I know the verse for this month a little bit. I remember last month's verse says, let me get that started here. Ye ask and receive not. Why? Because ye ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your lusts. You know what? So much of our asking is for ourselves, isn't it? You know, we need to really pray, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And, you know, if we pray according to His will, He hears us and we have the petitions we ask of Him. But so often our prayers are me, me, me. Lord, provide this for me. Do this for me. Help me with this. Or it ought to be, Lord, your will, not my will. And I better stop there. We're out of time. I think you have some things on your paper there you can look at. Here's one more thing I did want to cover, because I think this is very important, and I'll be done with this. When you read the Bible, read nothing into the Bible. Don't come to the Bible with preconceived ideas. Go to the Bible with an open heart, asking God to teach you. But sometimes what we'll do is we'll read the Bible, we have our own quirks or whatever you might want to call it, or a preconceived idea, and we're looking for that. There it is. I knew she was wrong. I see it right there in the Bible. You know, we're looking for things to kind of bolster our thought. No, let's go to the Bible with an open heart. God, you teach me. You show me. I'm coming to you with an open heart and an open mind, and you teach me. I'm not looking for something to bolster what I believe, and I'm not going to try and lift some type of scripture out of its context just to, I knew I was right. Okay? So it's very important that we don't read our Bibles that way. All right, my time is gone. Father,